Thanks for checking out the Long and Short of It podcast. You can find us on all good podcast platforms. Please consider following or subscribing. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Long and Short of It, the podcast where we discuss each of the games on the Metacritic Top 100 list. My name's Dan and I'm joined by...
This is Lawrence. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome. Today we're going to be talking about a game that I think we've been talking about for quite a long time. And that game is Hitman Blood Money. So Hitman Blood Money was released in the year 2006, released on a variety of consoles. The highest scoring console was the PlayStation 2, which had a Metascore of 83. But most of the critics reviewed it on the, at the time, new Xbox 360, which got a Metascore of 82. Now, I've roped you in to read a user review, a negative user review.
This is by PsyLife, but Psy is spelled P-S-Y. Bit like the Korean pop singer that sang Gangnam Style, but I don't think this is him.
Your favourite.
My favourite, that's right. But PsyLife gave it a 3 out of 10. And PsyLife say...
Generous.
Yep, they say about it, a fantastic concept wrapped in a thick layer of incompetence. The level of mediocrity on display here is matched only by how frustrating the game actually is. I would literally be ashamed to have my name part of the credits. I wouldn't care that much normally, but the game has so much potential that I truly feel it deserves better. Starting with proper programmers. What a waste.
And when was that review?
That was added 2 days after 2 days after Christmas in 2015. So PsyLife wasn't feeling very festive at the time.
So not close to release then.
No.
Yeah.
No, alas. But relatively damning. What does yours say?
So as usual, we try and pick a critic review that has a bit more than one line. A lot of them do have one line. So I've gone for Cheat Code Central. Yeah, it is quite literally a two-liner. With a score of 88. If you're just looking to blast your way through level after level, Blood Money is not the game for you. If you want to assume the role of an actual hitman and utilize the most dangerous weapon of all, your imagination, then by all means, get your hands on this one.
Nice and brief.
Yeah, and a lot of them are. I think, maybe I'm jumping the gun here and probably diving too deeply into this already. I think when this game came out, it was received warmly. But I think this is a game that, as time passed, people kind of look back on. With the exception of PsyLife, of course, and kind of reassessed it. And it had a bit of a resurgence. And although it was well reviewed and received warmly, I think it's people have looked back on it and said, well, actually, this was maybe a bit special. So, do you have a history with Hitman Blood Money?
Yes. So I've played this game through before, maybe twice, perhaps. I think we maybe touched on it when we did the original, well, not the original, but the Hitman remake game that we did a couple of months ago. So my first experience playing a Hitman game was Hitman Absolution, and I've gone back and I've played some of Contracts. I've played Blood Money through, like I say, once or twice, and then the newer trilogy, and I've watched like gameplay of Codename 47, the first one. But this was originally going to be like Hitman 3, wasn't it? For the first
this
kind
was
of
the fourth
Hitman. Oh, was this the fourth, was it? Because you got Codename 47, Contracts, Hitman 2 is actually there's a game called Hitman 2, isn't there? So this is one that I'm quite familiar with. I've played it a few times before. I know that they've recently done a re-release of it, haven't they, on the Switch.
Hitman the Blood Money Reprisal.
Yeah. Which is not where I played it. I'm trying to save some money at the moment and not spend so much. So I already had this as a download, as a PS3 digital game. So despite my PlayStation 3 seeming like it's probably on its last legs, it's very slow and doesn't work very well anymore, but I played it on there. But yeah, I've completed this game a couple of times. I think it's pretty good. Definitely a highlight of the series. What's your experience? Because this is your game, so I'm assuming that you've got some experience with it.
Yeah, this is where I usually say I played it years later and have a fondness for it developed years later. It's not the case with this one. This is a game that I played at the time. I've talked probably at length before about the pre-owned shops that you get in the UK. You used to get Game Station, Game, obviously, and now you get CEX.
Yes.
And this was a time where I'd just be trading in one game after another, completing the game, selling it on, and it was just an endless flow of games. This was one of those games, but this was a game that I was watching prior to release. I was reading about this in magazines, and it looked really good. The first thing that drew me to this game was the graphics, actually. So this game, certainly on the 360 at the time, looked pretty amazing. And I know it's hard to cast your mind back to that era. But
yeah, it's not really aged well now, but I imagine back then it probably looked quite good for its time.
Yeah, it really was an attractive game. I was following it in magazines and I picked it up probably not long after release and I had a blast with it. And as I did then, I sold it and then I re-bought it. I think I may have I bought it on the 360 because I originally played it on the PS2.
Yeah.
And then I completed it again and then I think probably sold it again. And there's a few games in my life where I've probably purchased them countless
multiple times.
Yeah, and this was one that I kept selling and rebuying and something just kept drawing me back to it because I don't think it dawned on me at the time and probably, dare I say it to a lot of critics at the time, how unique this experience was.
Yeah.
And the newer Hitman games, I feel like Hitman is only now getting its... What do they say? Getting its colours or something?
Getting its flowers.
Yeah, getting its flowers. That's the one, yeah. Getting its flowers. And I think that since the new trilogy came out, the new trilogy very heavily built on Blood Money. And
yeah.
With the arrival of the new trilogy, I feel like people are saying, well, there aren't many games like Hitman, and there really aren't. But Blood Money did that first. And I think now people look back on it in a bit of a different way. So my history of selling and rebuying this game, I also bought this game as a digital version on the PlayStation 3, completed it there.
Yeah.
Bought it on the 360, completed it there. Bought it again on the Xbox Series X, or it may have been the Xbox One X at the time when this was released on there as a sort of HD remaster. Completed it again there. And I've just bought the Switch version, Hitman Blood Money Reprisal, and completed it there. So overall, we're looking at, I reckon, 5 or 6 times completing this game. Very familiar with it. And feels like an old friend.
Probably like the most experience you've been with a game then on the podcast. Obviously we've played games in the past where we've completed them a few times in the past, but I can't remember you talking about many games where you say you've completed them 5 or 6 times.
I think the games that I tend to have completed that many times, and there are some, they tend to be games about this length. I mean, some of the Uncharted games I've completed probably close to 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
So they tend to be the shorter games where, I mean, I think it kind of makes sense that those longer experiences, you need a bit more energy before you go back to them and you need to really build up that hankering, dare I say, for the game.
Yeah. I go through phases with Hitman, like the newer trilogy. I'll go through phases of where I'll play it solidly for like a couple of weeks and then I won't play again for a few months. Like, you scratch the itch.
Yeah, and it is a unique itch. And now, after having completed Blood Bunny, I want to go all the way back to Hitman Contracts, which is where I think the series really came into its own.
Mm.
And then every game since then, I think, is just great, really.
Including Absolution?
Oh, with the exception of Absolution, which is okay. It's okay.
It's not a Hitman game.
No, it was their attempt to appeal to Splinter Cellify it. Yeah, and I think we discussed Absolution
yeah, we did.
A bit in the previous episode on the Hitman games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so quite a long history with this one, going back to 2006. Can you dive into the story a bit for us? A section that I have titled A Presidential Race.
Oh, fantastic. That's a lovely name. So the game kind of takes place as a somewhat of a recap, and then the story kind of picks up right at the end of the game where it kind of hits present day. But the story is kind of told through the eyes of, is he like the ex-director of the CIA or the FBI or something?
Old Scarface. He's some sort of politician.
Yeah.
Who has a heavy investment in not introducing cloning. I think it's discussed if you read the paperback stories. I think it's, or maybe it's somewhere else, maybe it's in the briefings, that this group who is so anti-cloning, the actual reason they're so anti-cloning is because they want to install their own cloning program and they want it to be the only one. Whereas if cloning is made legal, anyone can do it and it diminishes what they want to do.
So there's like two kind of spy agencies. There's the ICA, which is the company that 47's always worked for, and then there's like an emerging one in this game, isn't there, called the Franchise.
Yes.
And the Franchise, as you've said, they kind of want to get their hands on 47's genetics so that they can clone him in line with what happened in the previous games. Because I think Hitman 1 and 2 focused quite heavily on the fact that 47 was a clone, wasn't it?
Yeah, Hitman 2 and Contracts really, where it delves into it, certainly Contracts does.
Yeah. So the story of this game is effectively two companies against each other. And as you go through the different levels, you kind of learn more about a plot by the Franchise to assassinate the US vice president. I think it's the vice president, isn't it? It's not the actual president that they...
It's the vice president.
Yeah. And basically 47 gets set up.
So it's the vice president that you end up assassinating. And I think there's a plot to kill the president. It gets a bit muddy.
It does. And it's kind of double crosses, etc. But the main kind of blight of the story is that the Franchise want to get hold of 47 to clone him. At which point, towards the end of the game, you get put on your last mission at the White House, and then your handler Diana turns round and looks like she kills 47, so that the Franchise can get his bone marrow, isn't it? Because that's how they clone. And then at the end of the game, the Scarface, the politician man, is there at 47's funeral with the reporter. 47 kind of comes back to life and murders everyone kind of to do with it, and then moves on effectively. But that's where the story kind of picks up on the present day. Because like I said, it's kind of told not through flashbacks, but through stories until the end of the funeral. And it's quite a famous scene, isn't it, in Hitman lore with 47, yeah. Later S with Ave Maria playing in the background. Yes. The last level is, you know, you wake up from your death on your coffin and kill everyone. That's probably a very bad retelling of the story, but the thing with the Hitman story is it's the overarching story isn't ever really much of a thing, is it? Like, it's more about the gameplay, because I think we said the same when we did one of the newer games recently, that there's a story about a shadow organization.
I certainly think it of the new games. I think they made more effort here. I think when you think about it too much, it doesn't all line up too neatly, but in the moment-to-moment delivery, it's okay. And it does enough to kind of rally you against this evil corporation. Yeah. So I think with the president, I think what they're trying to do is he's returning from a trip, and once he returns, he will be assassinated. So I think you're getting in there first.
Yes.
To kill the assassin and the vice president.
To save the president. But then it's kind of framed as the fact that 47 tried to assassinate the actual president, isn't it?
Yeah. So there's quite a bit going on there, and a lot of it's in backstory, and a lot of it's in the newspapers as well. So, and then there's this overarching thing in the newspapers. This person's been killed. Police believe blood money is suspected.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where the game gets its name from. Okay, so a question for you. I've been thinking about this. How do you describe the genre of Hitman?
I would say that it's stealth action, but not in the same way that like Metal Gear is, because Metal Gear is always described as stealth action or as tactical espionage action. Hitman's its own thing. And there are similarities to the Splinter Cell games in terms of the stealth elements of it. But really, it's open to how you want to play it. If you play it properly, the way that it's meant to be, I'd say it's a stealth action game. But you could play this as a run-and-gun game. And there are things included in this game that kind of let you play through it that way if you want to, with, you know, removing first your notoriety, etc. But this is designed to be a stealth action game, I'd say. What would you say?
I think stealth action almost doesn't do it justice, because you start the level and you're always hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
And you have these circles of access, and you can kind of freely access maybe the first circle in your suit, and maybe the second circle you need the outfit of a member of staff or a security guard, and then the third circle maybe you need the disguise of a bodyguard or someone higher up the food chain.
Yeah,
and then you can kind of access all areas.
Dress up simulator.
Well, I what I came to land on, and there's a phrase that goes around with the Hitman series in general, is assassination tourism, which I quite like. So I put down in my notes, assassination tourism simulator. And your goals are invariably assassination. There's always that thing in Hitman of where it's going to take you next. And that's one of its real strong suits as a game. And then obviously the simulation is how you carry out that assassination. So what do you do in it? If you were playing it, or let's frame it this way, in the way that you played it, how did you play it? And what did that look like?
The way I play Hitman games is through a lot of what's the word I'm looking for?
Trial and error?
Yeah, trial and error. So, not this time around, because I knew the level quite well, but it happened on a few other levels. But I've got, you know, a good memory of a few years ago playing through the Opera House level, like the theatre, a few times. And what I'd do is I'd want to try and do it, you know, without getting spotted, etc. And this game is harder than the newer trilogy, because yes, obviously AI isn't as, you know, up to what it is today in terms of enemy AI. So there are inconsistencies, and they will spot things that you think are probably a little bit unfair. But trialing the game, doing things, it failing and going wrong, and then loading again, and then basically when you think that you've got it down to a T, restarting the level and just trying to get it to be, you know, to pull it off in the ideal way. which isn't always possible, but that's kind of the way that I play. I always try to be sneaky and, like you say, hide in plain sight and not kind of break out into gunfights. There will be times where that would happen, but I would always try and keep it stealthy and, you know, keep going back to make sure that I could do it in that way. I imagine you were quite similar.
Yeah, I always, there are certain quirks in the levels that I tend to forget, and then there are certain levels that I just know through and through. I could do A New Life every time the same way and get Silent Assassin probably within, 5-10 minutes.
Hmm.
So, and then there are some levels like, I can't remember what it's called now, the one on the Mississippi, the boat. Is it Murder on the Mississippi?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, so that one where I always have to kind of remind myself the path through the level, and maybe there's some reasons for that as well. So I always, as you say, try and figure out that path that I'm going to take and keep adding to that path until I get to my conclusion, which is the assassination, and then getting out. And it's slow paced and it requires patience, but it's very, there's something very satisfying about it, and I can't really put into words what that is, but just seeing this plan laid out and getting that Silent Assassin rating. So I played it on I think it's called expert difficulty this time, which isn't the highest, it's the second highest, and I did it so that I'd retrieve my suit and have no costs for anything like that, and Silent Assassin on every level.
Best way to play that game.
Yeah. So there's something uniquely satisfying about it. I played it much the same, but you can, if you want to, you can play this as a first person running gunner. If you really wanted to, you could.
You'll finish it a lot quicker.
Yeah, and you could wipe out hundreds of people at a time, but obviously if you're playing on the higher difficulty levels, you'll get wiped out very quickly if you do that. So it offers a lot of choice, and you can kind of play this how you want to play. Now I know you're not as familiar with Hitman Contracts, but do you know what the differences between Blood Money and Contracts are?
There's new things included in this game, aren't there, like new mechanics, but really all I know about Contracts, I've played maybe two of the levels in that game, but Contracts is some of the old levels from like Hitman 1 and 2, I think, and then a few of its own.
It's half its own original levels, and it's half remade levels from Hitman Codename 47,
and it's kind of taking place in and out of 47, falling in and out of consciousness after a hit's gone wrong.
Yeah, I really like Hitman Contracts, and we may come back to that one, because although Blood Money is more polished than Contracts, Contracts, you can really see, you can see the shell of the modern Hitman games in that game, and the AI is a little bit more erratic, it's a bit more difficult to play, and it's a bit more difficult to pull off that perfect assassination. But once you start doing it, once you start figuring out how the game works and the quirks that it has, like they all do, again, it's got some fantastic levels that are just a joy to play. I was kind of juggling with the idea of putting Contracts onto this lot of 15. But I may return to that. I don't know yet. Contracts, this compared to Contracts, a lot of it is polish. The AI has been revamped, and it's a lot more forgiving in terms of the disguises and what you can do with disguises. So in Contracts, there's always an element of, even if you're in disguise, you can still have your cover blown by standing too close to an enemy for too long or something like that.
Yes.
Here, it's quite forgiving in that regard. And if you go all the way back to Hitman 2, if you stand in front of an enemy for like 2-3 seconds, they'll blow your cover.
Yeah, and they just start shooting, don't they?
Yeah, too. I find two, I think I mentioned it in the last Hitman episode we did, I find two to be a bit broken at times. Whereas I feel like Contracts is where it came together fully for the first time and it gained some level of consistency,
yeah.
which they carried on with Blood Money. Here you've also got traversal options. So you can climb up things, you can climb ladders and grids and hose pipes as well, I think. And you can mantle onto objects. You can jump from balcony to balcony. I think you may be able to do that in some of the older games, actually. Body disposal. What I mean by that is you can put bodies in the large containers
yeah.
and hide a body that way, whereas you kind of just had to leave them around a corner before or out of sight. And there was always the off chance that the erratic AI would come across them. Upgrading your weapons. I think that's a new thing for this game. And it's something that I've never really sunk too much time into, but there's quite a lot of flexibility in it. And hiding. And what I mean by that is you can now hide in cupboards and that sort of thing in the same way that you can in Metal Gear, hiding in lockers. And it's a bit more difficult to quantify, but the levels themselves have seen improvements to the way that they're designed, and I think we're going to get to that, so I'll come back to that one. Gameplay is king. It's always here. It's our feature that we come back to time and time again. I know it's your favourite feature.
It is.
Is Hitman Blood Money fun to play?
Yeah. Like I say, a lot of the kind of hook with this game is the trial and error. And it can be frustrating sometimes, but these games are fun, just as the new trilogy are very fun. There's so many different ways you can play them. And I've found myself wasting hours of my life watching videos on YouTube of people doing like kill everyone challenges yeah. on Hitman maps. But no, like the Hitman games are probably some of the most fun that we've played on the game, I think, on the list.
Yes.
It just depends how you play them. But yeah, 100% for me. Same for you, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I had, again, I knew I would. I had a blast with it. And as I say, it's like returning to an old friend. And there's something very satisfying when you know a game and you know the levels and you still get that kick from playing it because the challenge is just right, that if you mess around, you can mess things up. Yeah. I think the thing that keeps me coming back to this game is the levels. Do you have a favourite move?
I don't know if it's in Contracts or if this was a new addition to the game, but not a whole lot, but like a few times in the game, you find yourself in an elevator and you can climb up the shaft. And if a target or someone that you need to get rid of comes into the elevator, you can use your fibre wire to grab them by the neck and strangle them and then basically pull them out of the lift and put them on top of the elevator itself, which I think is a cool little move every now and then.
Yes.
And also the taking of hostages, because that isn't in the newer ones. So it's
and it's not in the older ones as well.
No, so it's a bit of a...
Maybe it's an absolution. I never quite know what that means.
I can't remember. It's been a while since I played that. But yeah, probably the lift shaft thing. What about you?
Yeah, the lift shaft thing is one of mine. That is a move that appeared in Blood Money and has not appeared since. So I believe Hitman Blood Money is the only Hitman game that has quote-unquote working elevators. So in the new game, and I was reading about this yesterday, actually, they have elevator shafts, but you always climb them manually.
Yeah, you climb them, yeah, like in the India level in Hitman 2.
Yeah, and I think they even make a bit of a joke about it in one of the levels, saying, why are all these elevators broken? And I think the reason behind it is to do with streaming of the level or something like that. Some tech reason that I don't quite understand. But in Blood Money, you've got working elevators. And I remember this was a thing in older games, like some of the old N64 games, having working elevators and lifts was a thing. I suppose because of the quick loading required between...
Yeah, they're there to mass loading screens, aren't they?
Yeah, and I remember we fairly recently played The World Is Not Enough, and that had working lifts, and that was cool there as well. But yeah, doing the drag up from the elevator using your fibre wire is a cool move.
And it is.
Very iconic of Blood Money. The other move is even more simple. It does make a reappearance in the newer games, but I love it. And it feels so good to do. Pushing people. Seems like such a small thing, but...
Well, like pushing people reckon... over things.
Yeah, and just yeah, so yeah. You can press... there's a relevant button on whatever version you're playing, and it's just dedicated to pushing.
Yeah.
And you can just push people over if you feel like it. If they're on stairs, you can push them down the stairs. Depending on the height, it can knock them out or kill them. You can push them over low barriers. Obviously, you can push them off very high things and kill them. And it gives you a very satisfying accident status instead of actually close combat kill or anything. It classifies it as an accident. And it's just great. I remember the level, the Christmas level, where you're kind of taking out the Hugh Hefner like person. And one of the ways that I do that level, I didn't do it this way this time, but one of the ways I do that level is I get the meat, I put a sedative on the meat and poison the little dog that follows him round.
Yeah, because you can lose your silent assassin because that dog, can't you?
Yeah, that dog counts as a witness. which is one of the reasons why this game's great.
Witness dog.
Small witness dog. And there are quite a few dogs in the game, all different. And yeah, all can be witnesses. So you sedate the little dog who can be a witness. I didn't just do it for fun. And you just run into his private room. He stands on the balcony for not very long. And you run in there, just shove him off and then run out again. And it's just great. It's just a joy.
That's the best thing about these games is finding the fun ways to dispatch your enemies after you've pulled off the perfect kill. Just finding the stupid ways to do it.
Yeah, and that's always a fun one. And one of the things I don't think this game gets enough credit for is they revamped the controls as well. I didn't really mention that, but the control system here is revamped. And it feels really good to do those assassinations. Using the fiber wire feels good. Using the lethal and sedative injections feels good. Pushing feels fantastic. Doing the elevator shaft assassination feels good. They really got that feeling of being Agent 47 right. So do you want to give a bit of a rundown of how the notoriety system works?
Yes. Yeah, so as you go through each level, obviously the aim of the game is to be a stealthy assassin, like you say, hiding in plain sight, using people's clothes, etc. But the more evidence that you leave lying around, like if people find bodies or if you get seen killing someone or have a lot of firefights, your notoriety will go up. And at the end of every level, you kind of get like rated on how well you did from like a newspaper clipping. So if you do silent assassin suit only, like no one spots you, the newspaper clipping is going to be very empty. However, if you've left carnage in your wake, then it will be the case that you'll get a bad rating. Everyone in the papers will be talking about you, and I'm pretty sure that the levels after that, they can get a bit harder.
Yes, they can.
So guards can be a bit more alert, or they can be wearing things that make it a bit harder to attack them. And this is what I said earlier, because you do have the option to pay off people to lower your notoriety at the end of every level, because you're obviously earning blood money. So you can spend that money on reducing your notoriety level instead of upgrading your equipment. So depending how you want to play it, it really is up to you. But I'd say that not having a high notoriety level is probably the better way to play this game.
And obviously it's a vicious cycle, isn't it? If you're going around massacring people, you're not earning as much money, because you do get higher rewards in terms of money on the better ratings. And if you're spending money on reducing your notoriety, you're also not upgrading your weapons, because that's where your money goes. So in a way, if you play it like that, you could paint yourself into a corner, especially on higher difficulties where it's difficult to come back from. Obviously, if you know the game well, that's not going to happen. And that's the flaw with the system. But in principle, in theory, this system works really well. And as your notoriety increases, you'll start to see sketch photos of yourself in the paper. And when you're playing the later levels, there'll be newspapers with your face plastered around the level. And NPCs will look at the paper and then spot you in it.
Yeah.
And it takes a bit of time, and then they'll notice that the likeness from the paper is you. So it's just really small things like that that weave the levels together. And it was a really interesting little addition at the time, and it's still a really interesting little addition, and something that I feel is missing in the newer games, because there's not that continuity in the same way between levels, and there's certainly not the newspaper that breaks down or can break down in great detail how mm-hmm. you performed in a level, right down to the amount of gunshots you missed or bodies hidden and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think that they should have carried on with a lot of elements that they implemented in this game. Like I said, the same as you, I can't really remember a lot of things that they kind of brought in for Absolution. But it's a shame that things like the notoriety system, etc., they didn't keep in later games, because I think it's quite cool, like you say, the mugshots, etc. Well, not the mugshots, but the drawings being around and people spotting you. That's a very cool concept that unfortunately isn't in the later games.
It's a great idea that could have been developed into something even more with advanced AI and things like that.
Mm.
One of the things with Blood Money is that, as you say, it is a harder game than the newer games, and it really doesn't hold your hand. If you want to discover the way to assassinate these people and you want to get a silent assassin rating, there are ways to do it, but the game doesn't reveal its hand.
Yeah.
It wants you to explore those levels and find those ways
and
mess around with the gameplay that it's got there. And the newer games kind of drip feed you at times. So you're walking along, and I mean, every sort of 30 seconds to a minute, you'll uncover a new bit of intel. Mm-hmm. Even when you turn everything off, like the stories, which I tend to do, you're always hearing intel, and I was watching someone, some videos on YouTube, and someone was saying, oh, you're never far away from a bit of intel, which is, oh, the CEO really likes to visit the toilet or whatever it is. And then you've got that tidbit, and then you know, oh, okay, well, that's where I'm going to focus my search for this person.
Yeah.
The way that you do it in Blood Money is you get the right disguise and you follow your target, and you learn your target's routine from following them. And then you pick your time to strike. And there's something very satisfying about that. Okay, on to the bit that I wanted to talk about the most, really, which is the levels.
Mm-hmm.
So, please can you give me your three favourite levels? And when you give me your three favourite levels, I want you to think about the setup, what it is and what you need to do, i.e. what's the objective that you're given and where is it set. I want you to think about the level design, and I want you to think about the assassination options available to you. Now, obviously, you don't have to do all of those things, but just consider those when you answer.
So, in fact, my first two that I want to choose are quite early on. So the first one is the theatre, because realistically, I think that's probably the most iconic level from this game. I don't know if you'd agree.
I would agree. That and A New Life, I think, are the most iconic.
So A New Life is also in there for me as well. But yeah, so the first one is the theatre. Mostly, I don't know why I like it so much. It might be because, obviously, our experience working in theatres and seeing, you know, going around all the backstage areas and the basements.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are lots of different ways that you can take out your targets, but the kind of the iconic one is the fact that one of your targets is rehearsing a scene on the stage with a fake gun, and you can break into his dressing room and replace his fake gun with a real gun so that someone else actually commits the murder for you. Takes out your target, which I think is a very cool element.
Unlike the recent... Oh, I don't know if I should bring this up, really, but I don't know if you know much about the Rust film and Alec Baldwin and
the Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Not tremendously unlike that.
No. So yeah, that's one. And then if you've got an air for the dramatic, you can set explosives on the chandelier above the audience, so that your other target, basically, when the shot goes off, you can set your explosives off, and it drops a chandelier on the other target's head. Which, yeah, it's the payoff for these games, isn't it? It's the patience and the payoff.
Yeah, just watching your things play out, that you've got those traps that you've set, mm-hmm. watching them play out.
The second one I want to talk about is the level after that, which is the one in the winery.
Flatline. The rehab centre.
No, that one's up there as well. Pretty much all of the levels in this game are good. But in the, like, the winery.
Yeah, so that's the first level. That's before the opera house.
So I really like that one, mostly because of... I did a lot of trial and error with this level the first time I played it as well. And particularly in the newer trilogy, I tended to, you know, do like quite elaborate kills or whatever. Whereas in this game, I found myself using the fiber wire quite a lot.
It's very satisfying, isn't it?
Yeah. And sneaking through the level, putting on like the, because it's like in South America, is it? It's in Chile. You know, sneaking through, putting on like the South American military garbs and sneaking up on the Don. While he's playing, I think he's playing the violin or the cello or something, and sneaking up on him and, you know, getting a fiber wire kill. Super, super cool. And then his son as well. I managed to get it so that one of the wine barrels fell on top of him. It's funny because
explosives.
Yeah. It's funny because talking about it, there's quite a lot of reusage of levels in the series, because if you think about it, in Hitman 3, the last level of that is set in Argentina.
I think that's an homage to this.
It's got to be.
I think also the level in Hitman 2,
which is A New Life,
an American level. Is an homage to A New Life,
which is also the main reason why I really like A New Life, because I really like that level in Hitman 2. So I think that this level is A New Life is quite good, because again, it's like you say, it's in plain sight, and you've got so many different like get-ups that you can go with, like the obviously the clown outfit, very famous clown. And you've got like the gang around, haven't you, like the what are they called,
the FBI agents.
They're undercover, aren't they? But again,
you can open the back door and you can leave donuts out for them and sedate them using the donuts.
Yeah, exactly.
Their little van, which they're watching you from across the street.
Correct. And the way that I did that mission is, again, I just kind of stalked, like you say, I stalked, what's his name? Sounded like Sinatra. I can't remember. It's not Frank Sinatra though. Sinistra?
Frank Sinistra, was it?
Something like
Frankie,
that.
Vinnie Sinistra. Vinnie Sinistra.
That's it. But yeah, I just stalked him, and basically when I got into a room alone with him, I fiber-wired him as well. But there are so many good levels in this game, like the wedding. I quite like. I don't really like the whole Mississippi section, but I quite like the wedding setting. I like the casino, even though that wasn't a particularly great mission. And like you say, the rehab as well. That would be my number four, I'd say, just because it's so big. But yeah, those are my three. What about yours?
Well, one of mine was going to be a vintage year, which is the vineyard.
Yeah. But vineyard, that's the word I was looking for.
So I'm not going to say that, obviously, because you just talked about it.
Yeah.
What I think is great very quickly about that level is it's that, to me, of all the missions, feels like it's the blueprint for the modern Hitman.
Yeah.
And you start off, you've got your little tour that you can follow down into the basically the lower parts of the vineyard. And one of the things with the modern games is there's usually a tour that you can join.
Yeah.
And then you've got your mansion, which is your high security area. You've got that very Latin American music playing all the time. It's a great little mission.
The music in this game is superb.
It is. I was going to get to that, yeah. So, again, it's that exotic sort of tourism lifestyle. Dare I use this phrase, lifestyle porn, and it's like tourism porn, and it's those places that you really would like to see, but maybe you'll never get to see, or hopefully you'll get to see. But and that's what Hitman is, and that's why I use the word tourism, because you feel like a tourist and you're visiting these exotic places, almost like from a James Bond film. And yeah, that's a great one for that. The three I'm going to pick, I've actually picked, so I picked The Murder of Crows. I love this mission, which is set in New Orleans during Mardi Gras.
Yeah. There's a lot of people in that mission as well. Like, in terms of technologically, there's a lot of NPCs.
When I first played this back in 2006, I was blown away. I'd never seen that many NPCs in a level. Yes, they're not all thinking NPCs.
No.
But they do respond and they do react. There's a lot of bodies. You can, if you wanted to, you could wipe them all out. What I love about this mission is you start off and you're in this bar and it's kind of set up for what's going on. You've got the enemies all in their crow uniforms and you can just hear this faint hubbub outside.
Yeah.
And inevitably you go outside through the double doors and you see this stream.
It hits you, doesn't it?
And you hear this raucous sound. And I don't feel like I've ever experienced that in a game since.
No.
Just that a lot of games try to do crowds and some of the Assassin's Creed games have come close with this, but here it just completely blew me away. And it was also the soundtrack and the audio and hearing all those people. It feels like a party. It feels like Mardi Gras. And it's a fun level with a lot of options as well for how you take people out. You've got three people that you can take out in that level. And there's also a random nature to some of these levels. So one of the people that you're taking out here is in a different hotel every time, so your plan may not always work because it could be in a different hotel this time. So that's part of the charm of this level. That's a great level, really love it. The next one I'm gonna put forward is The Wedding. I think The Wedding is a bit of a quieter, a bit of an unsung level, but it's got a great atmosphere, and again, it's got lots of options. So you've got this wedding, and again, what a great scenario to have this assassination take place during a wedding. And it's in the Deep South, and you've got people shooting everywhere. So shooting your gun here is a bit different to every other level. And you've got crocodiles or alligators in the bayou, and
yeah,
you can push the old gangster person into the bayou and have them eaten by alligators, or you can just push them into a grave. It's just one thing I think this game does really well. I mean, a lot of it is set in America.
Yeah.
But it feels like, in a sort of comic-y way, it captures the feel of each setting. So the Deep South feels like the Deep South. Las Vegas feels like Las Vegas. And so on and so forth.
The thing as well is the comparison between like New Orleans and Mississippi in this game compared to Absolution, because quite a lot of Hitman Absolution takes place in like the southern states of America.
Yes.
And one of the critiques of Absolution is that it doesn't really respect the people. Like, it kind of, in Absolution, it makes up that all of the bad guys in, like, you know, the Deep South are just like idiots. Like they're just like yokels who are rednecks and they don't really think like the really bad stereotype that people have for like people from the southern states of America, which isn't true. But Hitman Absolution really leans into that in like quite an offensive way. Whereas here, it's just they're normal people that you're around.
And it's very like, light. And you also get like the wife in the wedding. So she's obviously the person who contracted the hit.
Yeah.
And
you can dance with her.
Yeah. And she's portrayed as being intelligent and calculating and the brains behind everything. And then she goes on and she kind of takes over Vegas. Yeah. And that's a fun one as well, because you can actually become the priest and do the wedding ceremony, which is quite fun.
He's a Renaissance man, 47.
The final one is the Vegas casino, which you referenced earlier. So some of the kills in this one are quite tricky, depending on how you do this.
It's all timing-based.
Assassin. Yeah, and this is a long mission because it is a lot of setup. What I like about this mission is the scale of it. Now, one of the things that the new trilogy does is it really blows open the scale. You get these huge, huge levels. I mean, the one that springs to mind is, and it's a great level, India in Hitman 2. It's a massive level.
India and Miami for me.
Yeah, those two are absolutely huge, and they have different distinct areas in them. Mm-hmm. Whereas, obviously, technologically, they couldn't do that with Blood Money. And you do get those smaller levels in the newer trilogy. Like, you've got the Manor House in Hitman 3. That's more of a condensed level.
Oh, in Dartmoor.
Yeah, that's the one. And this is a sprawling level for the time. So you've got the casino level down below. You've got a fire escape up onto the roof. You've got the main lobby area. You've got the two penthouse floors, all accessible by a lift, which has no loading between any of it. You've got your own. I always love it when you can check into your own room, and you can do it in the rehab as well. And I don't know, it feels like a safe space.
Same as in the Bangkok level in the Hitman 2016.
Yeah, and you can just dump things in that room or hide bodies in that room. Yeah. And no one's ever really going to find them. So yeah, I think that's another great level. But as you said before, the vast majority of these levels are very good. Is there any that you disliked, with the exception of the training mission and Requiem, which is the final run and gun mission?
To be honest with you, I didn't dislike that one.
Well, which were the weakest levels then, or weaker level?
You know, the one where it's got all the people dressed as the angels.
Oh, okay. I know what one. So it's basically the penultimate mission before the White House.
Yeah, I didn't really enjoy that. I'm not a huge fan of the White House either. And then the Christmas level.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Christmas.
Although
level. I think
the best thing about that level is seeing people in the like raised up jacuzzi, like a few floors above you. If you just shoot up, it's a glass bottom jacuzzi and just fall through. But yeah, I think that's probably the weakest level, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, that level to me feels very. One of the things that with this game, apparently they got real architects to help them design the buildings, and it really feels that way compared to previous games.
Right.
They feel like real spaces.
They do.
And they feel logical. So most places have got a kitchen and a bathroom, and those things that surprising amount of games miss, and many other games have those doors that lead to nowhere, whereas in Hitman Blood Money, most doors, like 98% of them, lead somewhere. Mm. And that level up in the mountains, I still enjoy it, but it feels more like a level because it's in terms of you start at the bottom and you have to get to the top. At the top, at the penthouse, is where you take out your final target. But there's quite a linear progression through it, and that top level, it's quite hard to get there unless you've got the right disguise on.
Yeah,
I'd be intrigued to see how people do that suit only, because I don't really know how they do it. I'd have to watch that. I might have a look after this, actually. But no, my least favourite is Death on the Mississippi, which is the level on the Mississippi River, where you're on like the steamboats.
Yeah.
And you've got quite a few people to take out, the alligators, and you've got their captain as well. It's still a good level, and you can
But not as good as some of the others, maybe.
Yeah, it's something in the way that it progresses. The best levels feel like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. And I think there are lots of people that talk about the design of Blood Money, and you find that different levels appeal to different people, and the things that they look for in the levels differ. So one person criticized a vintage year because they said it felt too realistic and too grounded. And they like the more bombastic levels.
You can't please everyone.
There's plenty of those as well. Yeah, so, okay, that was a good conversation about that. So let's talk about the visuals. You mentioned that you alluded to earlier that they haven't aged maybe particularly well.
No, I think a lot of the, particularly in the loading screens where you're checking out the, like the faces of the people that you've got to assassinate.
Yeah, yeah.
They look like they're made of Play-Doh.
Yeah.
And this was kind of in the awkward time before, like, before the HD era of video game characters looking quite realistic, but they didn't look as bad as maybe they did a couple of years previously. You know, the people in this game look slightly more realistic than some of the people that you'd see in like MGS3 or something. So it was kind of like in that weird in between phase, and the physics in this game,
wasn't it?
Yeah, mid-gen, and the physics in this game are insane. There's Ragdoll, and then there's this. But it's not a bad looking game, and there are some really nice, environments and scenes. But I'd say that the graphics aren't anything to write home about now. But I imagine playing this game for the first time in 06, probably it was quite a standout. But I think it looks okay for its age. It looks fine.
I agree. I think the character. I think I'm catching a. Oh, I think I'm getting a sore throat. Talking too much. I think that you're right. The character models are the bit that have aged the worst.
Yeah.
I think the levels themselves still look quite pleasing. And one of the things that this, I mean, I feel like I've said this quite a few times, even within the last, let's say, 10 or so, or maybe more episodes. Games reuse an aesthetic quite a few times, and they'll reuse assets, and you'll get levels that look quite repetitive. That's not the case here. Every level looks distinct. You could show someone a screenshot, and within seconds, they'd know where it was,
yes,
what level it is. And each level has their own set of assets that are unique, and they ran with this in the new Hitman trilogy. There's that design of like everything, even the wallpaper and the modeling of statues and all that stuff is really intricately detailed for the time. I think the settings are still quite pleasing to look at. And I think that's one of the reasons why the game has aged well, because if those levels didn't still look good, I think it wouldn't be so fun to play them. If they all look the same or had the same dressing, but they don't. And again, you've touched on this, the audio. Let's talk about the audio.
I think the music's the best part of this. Well, one of the best parts of this game. The levels are the best part of this game, but the music really marries into that. Obviously, you've got like the Ave Maria the game's brilliant soundtrack. But there's a track that plays kind of when you've been spotted or like when you're in combat. And it sounds like a choir almost that gets more intense the more crazy things get. Do you know the piece I'm talking about?
No, just because if I got to that point, I'd usually restart.
Ah, excellent. But there's a really cool piece of music here for when you're kind of like in combat that I think is probably the best track in the game. So you've missed out there. But yeah, there's some really, really good music in this game. And it's very apt for what the game is. It's got a real vibe of classic about it, which I think is important. for what this game is. So yeah, like a highlight, 100%. Similar for you?
Yeah, so it's by a composer called Jesper Kidd, who did all the Hitman, and I believe still does all the Hitman soundtrack. It's just a really wonderful atmospheric piece, and good example of that is in A Vintage Year, when you step away from that kind of upbeat Latin music and you get into the mansion proper, and then you get this kind of atmospheric soundtrack that kicks in, which really underlies the tension of the fact that you're infiltrating your first proper place, which is a gangster's mansion. And yeah, it's just, I'd say the whole soundtrack is really atmospheric, which seems quite at odds with some of the gameplay, which is comic-y and you're dressed as a clown, but then you've got this dark ambient soundtrack that undercuts it all, which is, sounds like it wouldn't quite work, but it really does.
Yeah.
And then you've got the voice of Agent 47, which is the actor that's always done Agent 47, which is David Bateson.
Yeah.
And he's just iconic in that role, in the same way that Michael Ironside is Sam Fisher and David Hayter is Solid Snake.
Yeah, agree.
Okay, on to our question of the week. This, you may need a little bit of thinking time here. Okay. So, can you give me three settings that you would like to see in a future Hitman game? When I say setting, it could be a location, it could be like a country, or it could be like, I don't know, an airport, something like that.
Mm.
So I can give you mine.
You go first because you've thought about it.
Okay, so my first one is Vatican City. I think given the high security nature of Vatican City, and if you started off in Rome and then you had to find the right disguise to cross over into Vatican City and then infiltrate the depths of Vatican City, and just also the very strong atmosphere that that kind of level would have, I think that would make a very cool level. My second setting is a Swiss ski resort. I think that would be quite a fun one for a Hitman game. And maybe you could even have 47 skiing at some points or setting up some ski-related deaths. But there aren't many levels that I can think of in the game. There are a couple, actually, thinking about it. Set in snowy alpine mountains.
Yeah.
But that'd be cool to have a lodge and the surrounding area. And the final setting is a safari in Africa. You could set up all kinds of assassinations with the animals and the touring vehicles, and there could also be luxurious cabins, because I've actually been on safari, and certainly the safari I went on, there were some very nice cabins that you could stay in, and maybe that would be kind of your central hub, and then you'd branch out onto the safari bit. So yeah, that's just three places that I would like to see. Maybe we'll get to see them in a future game. How about you?
Well, it's ridiculous, because thinking about it, I was just like, oh, that'd be good. No, they've done that. Because I was originally like, what about a bank? No, they did that. I was like, oh, what about New York? No, because the bank was in New York. what about the Maldives? No, they've done that one. I think maybe something around, because it made me think of Assassin's Creed Unity. So around Notre Dame in Paris.
Yeah.
I think that would be quite an interesting one, because you've obviously got all the catacombs as well underneath Paris.
Yeah, I thought of Notre Dame. The only reason I didn't say Notre Dame is because you've already got the Paris level in Hitman 1.
Yeah, this is the problem.
But I do feel like Notre Dame would be a good one. Because I think you can see Notre Dame from that level, but you obviously can't go to it.
Yeah. The next I'd probably say either a cruise ship or a submarine.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'd thought about cruise ship as well. Cruise ship would be good.
Mm. Yeah. And then I did think, I was like, oh, what about an embassy? No, they did that. So, the third one, I don't know, like,
Maybe somewhere more quiet.
oh, well, I thought like English Village, but then I was like, no, they've done Dartmoor. I don't
Scottish
know,
castle.
like, sorry?
Scottish castle.
Buckingham Palace. Let's say
Yeah,
Buckingham
that's not a bad
Palace.
one. Yeah.
As long as you know you're not committing regicide, then it's fine. So yeah, maybe Buckingham Palace, but yeah, those are my few, I think. But
That's good.
the options are endless, aren't there? There's so many that you could do.
They are, yeah. I came up, so yeah, I was thinking about Egypt, and but like you said, they've done other similar places, and
Yeah, it's a
I
problem.
find it. I was thinking about this. It's quite curious the way that they pick their levels, like Sapienza.
Yeah.
Why did they pick that particularly of all the Italian places they could pick? They picked Sapienza.
Oh, what about Chernobyl? That would be it. I'd enjoy that.
Yeah, and then you fight mutants, that'd be good.
That's right, yeah. Things with ten fingers on their one arm. Or
And
you'd even
maybe
get to
one of them
fight
would
Mr.
have.
Blobby.
Oh, I was about to say the same thing. I was going to say maybe
Noel's
one
House
would have
Party being
yellow
a level.
blobs.
There you go. Great minds think alike.
That would have been a prime example
That would have
to.
been Noel's House Party.
Yeah, that's the last one now. That's it.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Noah's house party. The setting we all want to see, Io.
We all want to see it.
Okay, one word or phrase to describe this game, please.
Efficient is the first word that came to my head. I don't know why, but I'm going with
Okay.
efficient. What's yours?
I'm going to go with ahead of its time. I feel like the theory behind Blood Money is really quite contemporary, even if the mechanics don't always hold up, like the ragdoll physics and stuff like that. And I really feel like the theory behind the Hitman games hasn't changed. It's the sharpness that was there in Blood Money is still there in the modern Hitman trilogy, and what they've done is they've made it more appealing to a wider audience, but that theory behind it is still there, and it's that rigidity to that idea that's why the games are so good.
Yes, I know what you
Okay.
mean.
Does Hitman Blood Money deserve to be on the Metacritic Top 100 list, or does it deserve to be on the list of top games? Because I feel like we should stop talking about the Metacritic list, even though that's what the podcast is called.
Yeah, I think so. I'd say that this one deserves to be here over the one that I suggested and put in. I
Number
think
three.
it's yeah. I think that this one works a lot better as a game to be included in the list. So I'm gonna say yes. I do think so. What do you think?
Yeah, it's iconic, isn't it?
It
One
is.
of my other things when I was thinking about levels was what makes the level iconic, and you could probably pick something from almost every level, and say, well, that's memorable. Whether it's the clown in A New Life or the crows in the New Orleans level, you could find one in almost every level, and it's like I said, you look at an image and you know what level it is. How many games can you do that with? I
Yeah.
think it's this game is like a fine wine. It just in a way it gets better with age, and I feel like it treads a really nice ground between what at times in the older games could be quite janky and not quite work, and in the newer games maybe they've streamlined it a touch too much.
Yeah.
So it walks a nice middle ground. I think it's great. And I think it's one of those times in gaming where everything came together. I feel like this is exactly what the game that they wanted to make.
Yeah, right time, right
And
place.
yeah, and it's just so iconic. And
Yeah.
everything that the modern Hitman games is, and they're great. And there are, so I think there'll be another Hitman game on my 15, whether or not it's Contracts or something else.
Yeah,
I feel like there will be another one there because I love the series.
Yeah, they're so fun.
Those modern games and that deviation that was Absolution from what Blood Money was. Those modern games are everything to Blood Money.
Yeah.
And that misstep that was Absolution really, I think that's the thing that changed the conversation around Blood Money. When you stepped away and you saw what Hitman could look like when it wasn't Blood Money, it makes you appreciate Blood Money.
Yeah.
That was the right path for it. But they didn't know that at the time. And then they found, thankfully, that right path again.
Yeah.
So yeah, think it deserves to be there. Bit of a longer episode. What have we got coming up next time?
Well, we had to change it up a little bit, didn't we? Because it turns out that getting hold of something is a little bit harder than we sometimes anticipate.
Which we hope to revisit in future, don't we?
Yes, we were going to be doing Pokemon Gold, which was my option, but. Yeah, luckily I've still got my Game Boy Color and my copy of Pokemon Gold, but unfortunately, actually procuring a copy of it is quite expensive, and you don't know if it's going to work.
I really struggled.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you're usually quite good at tracking things down, so if you struggled, then it's a problem.
Short of spending quite literally hundreds.
Yeah.
To hopefully get a working version.
Yes, so we can go and visit Johto. But we shan't be visiting Johto next time.
I'm hoping it comes to Switch.
I'd love that. That'd be brilliant. Well, they did Pokemon Yellow version, I think. So I've got that on the 3DS, I believe. I've got it on a Nintendo. I'm pretty sure it's the 3DS.
So Pokemon Gold came out on the 3DS as an eShop release, but. Obviously, you can't buy that anymore.
No, because Nintendo don't like money.
Yeah, the eShop's closed.
Ridiculous.
And, yeah.
But, alas.
It leaves me a bit stuck.
Yes, we digress talking about Pikachu.
Yes.
So we've had to replace it with... It's still a slightly longer game, and I think we're probably going to need a bit of probably an extra week for you to get through it. So we are going to be doing an unexpected game, but it should be an interesting conversation. We're going to be playing Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Part one,
yeah. So I did kind of allude to the second part coming out a few weeks ago and me saying that I absolutely wasn't interested in playing it, and then I bought it on the day of release and I've played about 12 hours of it so far. And then when
and
we're trying to come up with
some... say you were saving money.
Yeah, well, this is exactly why I need to stop doing stupid stuff like that. It's ridiculous. But yeah, so we were kind of talking and trying to come up with an idea to replace Pokemon, and I suggested, well, we could do Final Fantasy VII Remake, because you've just had your first experience playing Final Fantasy VII, and it should be an interesting conversation, because I still really don't know my feelings on it. And I know that you're quite enjoying it so far, aren't you?
Yeah.
The advice that I would give you before going much further into it... do as much of the side stuff as you can. Take your time with it.
I will.
They have bloated the game out quite a lot in areas that I don't like. But there is some really good stuff in there as well. And particularly the characters. So it'll be an interesting episode, because I still don't know where I'm going to land on that. But that'll be in about 2 weeks' time. As always, we're on social media, Long and Short of It Podcast. You can email us at longandshortofitpodcast@hotmail.com. What were you going to add?
I was going to add that looking at both of our upcoming lists, we know it's been spotty since Christmas, and I think while we're finishing out these initial 15 for us, it will be a bit spotty because we've got some longer games.
Yeah.
So just be patient with us. We think when we hit the open critic list again, it will start to pick up and speed up again. So we appreciate your patience, and hopefully it's worth waiting for.
It might even be the case that moving forward over the next few weeks, we potentially change the release date as well. It's something that I've been thinking about that I've not spoken to you about yet, but we'll catch up about that off recording, just to try and get a bit more consistency in over the next few months.
Yeah.
But yeah, so as always, you can find us on all of the platforms. If you've enjoyed the episode, please consider giving us a rating or sharing it with a friend. And yeah, that's all I've got for today. Is there anything else from you?
No, that's it from me.
Lovely. Well, we will see you in a couple of weeks' time for Final Fantasy VII Remake. And in the meantime, take care. Cheerio.
See you on the next one.